How about that? Here we are. We're GFBS. We're Grand Forks Best Source on a hump day. In the studio today, Clark Peterson. He's a baseball coach. We're going to be talking about some amateur baseball and a fundraiser coming up. Show today, by the way, brought to you by the Beehive in Reynolds and the Valley Drifters Snowmobile Club. You got the big Buzz Run Vintage Snowmobile Ride coming up this Saturday. That's January 9th in Reynolds. You got a vintage sled, $10 to enter. 9 a.m. registration at the Beehive, 10 a.m. judging starts. We're going to take a little spin at about 1 o'clock to Brewskies and Thompson. We're going to take a spin back to the Beehive for awards, prizes, and food. Got awards for pre-70, 70 to 75, 76 to 80, 81 to 85, best original and restored, and people's choice. Grand Forks Best Source is going to be there. I can't wait. The Beehive, the Valley Drifter Snowmobile Club, the big Buzz Run. If you want to find out more, 218-779-2110 is the number. Well, if you got any questions, feel free to text us. Our phone number is 701-213-0863. 701-213-0863. And before we get on with this interview, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Now, I'm going to be asking Katie here what she thinks of this one. Katie, the intern. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Why does a pitcher raise one leg when he throws the ball? Why does a pitcher raise one leg when he throws the ball? Well, if he raised them both, he'd fall down. What do you think? Was that one all right?
That was all right. I actually had to, like, visualize that for a second. But, yeah, that is true.
You just kind of tip over.
When you're throwing, you do have that one leg in the air. But, yeah, I kind of see it in my head, so.
Seen a lot in baseball, but not that. Clark Peterson, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Good. Hey, first thing I want to do, today's first time I've met you. We've talked on the phone, but tell us a little bit about yourself away from baseball, first off.
All right, away from baseball, I graduated high school in 2015 from East Grand Forks. Wow, staying away from baseball is going to be a little tough. I drive Zamboni in the wintertime.
Okay, we tried to find you. That's what it was. I tried to find you on Sunday, but you had already left.
I had already left. Okay. Yep, I drive Zamboni over at the Icon. And then I also work for the East Grand Forks Park District.
Okay.
Moving snow and flooding the outdoor rinks.
Okay.
A lot of time on the Zamboni, a lot of time on ice.
Yep. Outdoor rinks, are they skatable yet in East Side or not?
Not in East Grand Forks.
Not
We're
yet.
We're working our hardest.
I know. It's pretty tough to do when you have weather like we've been having.
Yeah. Everything is vindictive of the weather.
Yep.
No matter what you do.
And like I mentioned before we got on the air here, tell Reed to answer his phone calls.
Reed, if you're listening, you can't tell me that I'm not doing work. So,
well, we already got one text saying lame joke. How about that? And thanks for the people that are tuning in right now. Okay, first off, I want to know, you coach an East Grand Forks amateur baseball team. So how old, when you say amateur baseball, well, everything's pretty much amateur unless you get paid for it. But what are you talking about? How old are these guys that are playing for you?
The beautiful thing about the Minnesota Baseball Association is that the Amateur Baseball League is 13 to 60.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yep. So you got a good 47 years worth of eligibility. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we're a very young team.
Mm-hmm.
Our youngest player this year is going to be 17. And our oldest player, Michael Lucasen, I think is going to be 32.
Wow, Mikey's still playing too, huh?
Yeah.
He's my insurance guy.
Oh, yeah, he's mine too.
I like him. Now, one thing I want to know, you guys are called the East Grand Forks Mass. How the heck did you come up with a name like Mass?
Well, the only thing that I'm going to go on record saying about the Mass is that it's got a lot of pop.
Yeah.
I digress.
Okay. All right. The Mass. Now, how long has the Mass been around?
This will be our second year.
Second year. So last year was the first year. And did I talk to you on the phone last year or was it somebody else?
Yeah, no, you talked to me on the phone last year. In the words of Paul Allen, the pandemic purge really hit us hard.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get very many games in, but when we did, we won a good amount of them. And we talked right before our playoff play-in game.
Okay, that's what it was. And how did it go for you? Because I didn't hear from you again.
We absolutely dominated.
You did?
Yep. We won the first game, I think, 21-1, and we won the second game 19-0 or something along those lines.
Okay, so do they have a state tournament, regional, national, anything like that?
So after we won our play-in game against Sabisky, we went on to play in a the top three teams then play each other.
Okay.
If you keep winning, you keep playing and whatnot. So then, as we qualified for those top three teams, we automatically qualified for the state tournament.
Okay.
We played the next weekend after Sobieski, and we lost in our first game against Cold Springs, solidifying us the three seed for Section 2B going into the state tournament down in Shakopee.
Okay. And did you get to go to state?
Yep. We went to state, and this is where we ran into a hiccup that we had been prepared for about 4 weeks. The rosters for Minnesota amateur baseball are extremely strict. So we had to make sure that we had everybody rostered, I think, before July 1.
Okay.
And we're comprised of about 10 college guys from Crookston. Mm-hmm. And then the rest are guys who have either graduated from college or are still in high school. Well, the University of Minnesota Crookston wasn't going to allow the athletes to travel down to the cities for the state tournament due to the coronavirus.
Oh,
they didn't want them to go outside of their bubbles before they were going to come on the campus.
I mean, it makes sense.
It does. You know, with a lot of things these days, you just grit your teeth and you move forward. So that's what we did.
Yeah. Was that an administrative call by UMC or was that a Gusto call or probably administrative?
It was administrative. Gusto wants those guys to play baseball.
Absolutely.
Every second of every
year.
So when they couldn't do that, he was upset. We were upset, but we had some guys who hadn't played very much during the season. As they knew, they had just been fresh off Legion last year. They knew that they had guys who were in front of them who were college baseball players.
Sure.
Their reps in. So we went down to state with 9 guys.
Oh boy.
Yep.
That's tough to do.
Yep.
Especially when you got a pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. We started Kevin Hatcher, a Dakota Wesleyan graduate.
Okay.
Works for the city of East Grand Forks right now. And Kevin went 4 innings strong for us. He competed his butt off. Kudos to Kevin. And then we went to Reed Jelly, and Reed's a really goofy guy. Just keeps guys off balance. And
yeah.
In the last inning, we were down by, I think we were down 1, to be honest. We intentionally walked their 3-hitter, got to their 4-hitter, who was 0 for 3 with 3 Ks on the day, and he hit a ball that still hasn't landed yet.
Jeez. I mean, it's not funny.
No.
But you've been around baseball long enough, you see things like this all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. You just make sure now, this year we're going to be prepared. We're going to sign kids both from East Grand Forks and Grand Forks' Legion team. You know, we're not trying to steal these kids from the Legion programs, but what we're trying to do is ensure that we don't run into this problem again.
Sure. And as long as they're on your roster and you've got enough guys to play your regular league schedule, these kids can still focus more on the Legion part of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last year we had 3 kids who played on East Grand Forks' Legion team. We didn't tap into Grand Forks' yet. I'm not familiar with V or Chine. They didn't run the program last year. It was ran by Coach Ziegler. And, I was just unfamiliar, so I didn't want to step on any shoes. But Jake Jelly, Jake Oselski, Carter Beck, both balanced Legion and the Mass. I'd say they played in 85% of the Mass games, and they didn't miss a single Legion rep.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I do a good job of making sure that I don't double schedule games, step on feet, whatnot. The only catch is, if you want to play in the playoffs, you have to play in 4 league games.
Oh, sure. Did they say how long? I mean, is there a certain amount of innings per game to get in 4 games, or you just got to get in?
So what we do with a lot of the guys, especially our pitchers, we have Connor Richardson on the team. He's a Grand Forks Red River graduate from 2016, maybe 17, I believe. Richie can't pitch in every single game. You know, we would play doubleheaders on the weekend. He can't throw in every single game. So what we would do is he'd pitch the first game and then, you know, in the 6th, 7th, 8th inning, when one of our slower guys got on, we would pitch run and Richie pinch run, and then you have the reentry rule one time per every starter. So you just re-enter that guy right back on top of him.
Okay.
You also mentioned Grand Forks. So, like, can you take players from anywhere?
The rule for Minnesota State Amateur Baseball now, I'm 99% sure on this. I could be wrong by 10 miles either way. But you get 45 miles as the crow flies.
45.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, let's face it, some of these smaller towns in Minnesota, they might not have enough guys in a town to field a team, so that makes sense. Now, how many sections are there of amateur baseball in Minnesota? Do you have any idea?
I couldn't tell you how many sections there are off the top of my head, but I do know that last year we recorded one of the highest numbers of amateur baseball teams in the state. And I could be wrong by 100 or so here, but it was either 150 or 250
wow.
teams.
You know, a lot of people think amateur baseball is dead, but it is not, especially around here.
No, amateur baseball is alive. It's well. Minnesota has the second amount of teams in the continental United States, wow. right behind wow. Texas.
Wow. So if you got do you know how many teams are in your section, and what section do you belong to?
We belong to Section 2B. Minnesota State Amateur Baseball has three classes, A, B, and C.
Okay.
A is all cities teams.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
C is all of the small town towns.
Sure.
The small town teams, Ada, Roseau, mm-hmm. et cetera. And then B is towns like Moorhead, St. Cloud, Cold Springs, towns that are usually over 15 to 20,000 people
okay.
in population size. But there's a catch. Each class, A, B, or C, has a certain amount of points you're allotted. And because we wanted to have kids play from the University of Minnesota Crookston and live in Crookston, work in Crookston, we had to be Class B.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we are Class B with three Moorhead teams, a team from St. Cloud, a team from Cold Springs, the newest addition, the Hamel Hawks.
Okay, I know where Hamel is.
Yep. And I don't think I'm missing anybody, but okay. if I am, don't be afraid to text me and let me know.
You know, this is really cool because, like me, when I got out of high school, out of college, I went on and played fast pitch softball and slow pitch. Well, then fast pitch, which used to be the place to be, was the fast pitch Diamonds on a Friday night in my hometown. Under the lights, people everywhere, it was the thing to do. Well, now you can't even find fast pitch anymore. So then we all start playing slow pitch. But a lot of guys, when the fast pitch thing failed, thought about playing baseball again. But at that time, nobody really had any amateur teams going around. This is 20 years ago. And then they've been out of baseball for so long. But this is awesome for guys. I mean, it's, you know, it's like beer league hockey, you know, but guys that still got it in them, that still have the skill to play and the legs to play and physically able to play, this is another avenue for them. It's great.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of people in this town without throwing out a handful of names who should be playing for us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talent in this town from the age range of 17 to 35, 40. And those guys, if you want to play, come on out. You know, the heart and soul of the mass is the older players.
Sure.
You know, like our Neil Nagels, our Michael Lucasons, our Kevin Hatchers, because these are the guys who have experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys have played in big games at their colleges. And for a freshman like Jake Osowski, just to throw names out there, to come in and not play much during the season and then have it be purged through the coronavirus pandemic and then get to play with guys who have pitched in conference championship games and obtain that knowledge, that's what this is about. You know, so those guys who, you know, you've played 5-10 years of softball, but you did play baseball and you want to get back into it, we're the place.
And, you know, also when you bring that up, these guys with college, major college experience, some of these kids coming up that want to keep playing baseball, all you're going to do is learn.
Yeah.
I mean, you're absolutely. Going to learn from these guys a ton. I mean, yeah, there are great coaches around, but the more you play, the more people that help coach you and that you play with, you're just going to be that much of a better baseball player as you get older.
Yeah. There's a big pull in the college baseball culture or society for kids to go and leave their hometowns and play for college baseball summer leagues.
Yep.
You know, that's good and great. I played in one.
Mm-hmm.
But the lessons you're going to learn, the ability for you to play for your hometown or to represent your community is far more important than what you're ever going to learn from going and playing for the Mankato Moondogs or the Duluth Huskies, whatever it may be. You know, so the lessons you can learn through amateur baseball and through the guys that we have on our team are absolutely invaluable.
You know, you mentioned some of these guys that you wished were playing. Do you ever just get on the phone? Do you ever go track them down and say, look, why don't you come back out and play some ball?
You know, I got a couple of guys on mind. Taylor Cantrell, he left us a few years ago. He just commented, said, love this. TC, we would love to have you back. I remember the nasty deuce that you got. You shut down Grand Forks a few years ago with that thing. There's also the one of the Merrick brothers is still roaming around town.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, I know you're out there, and I know you want to play. We talked about it. Come on back.
Yeah. Have you got a pretty good handle on a roster yet for this next season?
Yeah, we're looking at about 30 to 35 guys.
Wow.
Yeah, depending on kids who go on and play summer college baseball league.
Sure, but, sure. Yeah. And then, you know, you say 30, 35 guys, but you're probably traveling with, what, maybe 20 most of the time? Or
a good day.
Yeah, on a good day.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have got a fundraiser coming up, and we're going to talk about that here in just a couple of minutes. Clark Peterson, head coach of the East Grand Forks Mass Amateur Baseball Team, and we'll ask him some more questions here in just a couple of minutes. Thanks to Executive Properties, one of the sponsors of our show today. Now, this is actually a text that I got from an Executive Properties customer, and here's exactly what her text said. I called Executive Properties in desperation for an egress window install in Minto before winter. Now, this was right coming up to winter. We had contacted several other companies, were told they would come over the summer, but they must have forgot about us. Executive Properties agreed to the project. They gave us instructions on what to do before they arrived. They first drove up to lay down a blanket to warm the ground and then came back and completed the job quickly. They did a great job cleaning up afterwards, which I greatly appreciated. And they stuck around and gave us some helpful hints and ideas as we are remodeling our basement. They later emailed and texted me to make sure we were happy with the finished project and said I could call back if I had any remodeling questions for them. Very kind and reliable and competitively priced. And P.S., I'd also like to add that they were careful and did not damage the yard or landscaping. Now, this is what Executive Properties does all the time, every day. You want to find out more? You need some work done around your place? Go to executiveproperties.org or call 701-330-1273. I know these guys personally, got a ton of experience. Check them out, Executive Properties. All right, we're back with East Grand Forks Mass Amateur Baseball Coach Clark Peterson. Now, you have got a fundraiser. Tell us about this.
Okay, we got a few things coming up here. 2021 is going to be a big year for the Mass. Our first thing we're going to do is we send out letters every year. I understand that this is tough for a lot of the community, but every letter, any person who gets a letter, understand that someone I work for, someone I work with, or I personally support your business and have supported your business throughout the whole pandemic. I'm not asking for the moon, but the community's support is everything to us. There will be various companies that will be getting letters. And, you know, we hope that some of you do decide to donate and sponsor us and help us provide game balls for the season. And we've got a lot of cool advertisements on those letters. You know, we're trying to go with a more of a European look on our jerseys with the advertisements. So we're hosting up to 7 spots on our jerseys.
Oh, okay.
Your son down in Fargo, he has all of their game balls are stamped by Applebee's.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's something that we're looking to try and do as well, get all of our game balls stamped by a local company.
Sure.
We don't necessarily want to have to reach out to Applebee's or Buffalo Wild Wings. Mm-hmm. You know, we want the Blue Moose or Jarrell's
right.
or Played Against Sports. You know, speaking of Played Against Sports, last year we hosted a co-ed softball tournament.
Okay, yeah, I was reading about that on social media this morning.
Yep, we also hosted a home run derby.
Mm-hmm.
We had 19 guys show out for our home run derby. JQ Florian won. He's a sheriff out in Hatton, or works for the sheriff's department.
Okay, yep.
We donated all of those profits to the J&H Nunn Foundation. So that was something that was really fun for us. And then after the home run derby was done, we hosted a co-ed softball tournament, made a decent amount of money, had a lot of fun. So with that, we're going to try and run 2 separate softball tournaments in the spring. We're going to run a women's open division and a men's open division. Both tournaments are going to run over 2 weekends. We haven't sat down and got the dates. You know, like I said earlier, it's conducive to the weather, just like everything else. But the first weekend's going to be pool play, and then the second weekend's going to be tournament play. And we're looking for anywhere between 8 to 16 teams to fill this tournament. And we're going to play it early. You know, it's going to be an early bird tournament hosted by the Mass. Real umpires, whole 9 yards. We're really trying to kick off hopefully everyone's vaccinated, not everybody, but a good portion of everybody's vaccinated so we can have some good, clean fun and kick off the spring with a real bang.
We want to be a part of this for you, too. So when all this starts to happen, let us know. Do you by any chance play Thief River amateur baseball team?
We did not play Chance's team this summer.
Okay, because I was just wondering, because Chance just texted, hi, John and Clark. Hi, Chance. How are you?
we I was in talks with Chance mm-hmm. over the summer. We were trying to get some games together, but it was just he's a Class C team.
Yep. Okay.
So we're not necessarily required to play them, and they didn't necessarily have a field, and we were also looking for a field. We were going to go down in Fargo and play, but we had to play some conference games instead.
So when you say you didn't have a field, is it because of weather or because of they just shut it down because of COVID or is that what it is?
Yeah, we're going to give Paul Allen another shout out and blame it on the pandemic purge.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if, well, now I think today Walls is supposed to ease up some of the restrictions on Minnesota. I mean, I live in Minnesota. It sucks what's going on in that state right now. We were talking yesterday. I had read where, you know, hockey practices and things going on now, and they're making them wear a mask. And some of these student athletes are collapsing, massive headaches. One even said, not doing it anymore. I'm going to quit because I can't play with a mask on. But hopefully he opens up things a little bit. And next, you know, this coming summer, wouldn't it be nice to just have a regular freaking year again?
Yeah, you're telling me. That's our goal. That's our goal for the softball tournament is, you know, a good kickoff to, hey, we're going to be able to do everything. We don't need to wait.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to postpone. We're going to go out. We're going to enjoy the outdoor weather. We're going to enjoy the human experience, and we're going to compete. And,
yep.
And that's hopefully what we're going to get. And if it's not, we're gonna play by the rules. We're going to grit our teeth, and we're just going to move forward.
Now, I would imagine it's not cheap running your team. I would imagine a lot of these players are responsible for a lot of the cost. I don't know, but do you have any, you know, shot in the dark figures about how much it costs just to run an amateur baseball team like this for one season?
Yeah. This is heartbreaking. I don't want my girlfriend to hear how much I spent personally on it.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to say just how much does it cost for the team.
You know, I didn't charge a player's fee.
Wow.
We're not going to charge a player's fee ever in the future. The only thing we're ever going to ask for guys to do is if they want to buy their jerseys at the end of the year, they can buy their jerseys at the end of the year. But it costs us about $8,000 to $10,000
wow.
at bare minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
City pays pretty good. boy, it looks like you're a legend in the making. Neil Nagel, look at you go, Clarky, a legend in the making. What do you think about that?
You know, there's a... I could probably think of five people who I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for them.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Nagel, Joe Kavitt, Dan Knox, Steve Gust, and then my dad, Mike Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those five guys really paved the way for me. They made sure that when things didn't go my way or I showed signs of undisciplinedness that they were there and they made sure that I would go the right direction and everything.
How did you get your start in coaching?
I've wanted to be a coach probably since, we'll backtrack. When I was 5 years old, I played for Casey Solem, a All-American at Dakota Wesleyan.
Yep,
it was T-ball.
Yeah, he played with Alex.
Yes,
yep.
He did, yep, for Coach Gust at Dakota Wesleyan, like I said. He told me to go turn on SportsCenter because I wouldn't stop talking to him about baseball. So I turned it on, and Ron Gardenhire and the Twins were dominating. And I was mm-hmm. like, I want to be Ron. So I sat down and I would watch baseball games and I would watch them, how the pitcher worked, how the infielders moved, how the catcher sat up. And I started to take note and I started to understand like, hey, I kind of got a little bit of a knack for this. So then when I was 14 years old, I was allowed to work for the city. I coached T-ball till I was 17. When I was 18, Mark Dragich gave me the opportunity to coach a, 15-year-old baseball team with Joe Kavitt. He hadn't let people who played Legion work for the city because of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But he allowed me to do so, and we went to state. We took third. Then I took a year off, and then I've been in running the junior Legion team since then. And then we obviously had to not have that. Legion Baseball
yeah.
decided that they weren't going to run their program. So then this year I took care of everything 13 through 16 year olds with the help of Neil Nagel. It was fantastic. Everything I could ever dream of.
What's the youth baseball program look like now on Eastside? Numbers good. A lot of kids. I mean, last year was screwed
down.
Up, but
yeah, we were down last year. And here's my message for parents, kids, grandparents, aunts, uncles, who's ever listening. Don't let your kids play one sport.
Right, right.
If your child comes up to you and says, Mom, I want to be a hockey all-star, tell them you got to be an all-star in at least one other sport.
Yeah.
Well.
You know, I'm a lot older than you. I graduated in the early, almost mid-80s. Nobody just played one sport. If you were an athlete, you were in sports. That's the only reason I went to school, was to play sports. But they always overran each other. That's how much we played. Me, it was football, hockey, track. You know, guys were playing three sports. And now you see more and more of this, the one sport athlete. But I tell you what, when you mention hockey, I've talked to numerous hockey coaches, and I said, what do you like? You want your kids playing hockey year-round, or do you want them to play other sports? Who are the better athletes? I've not had one hockey coach say, I just want them playing hockey. They all want them playing other sports. There's more to life than one sport, and I get you there. I'm kind of old school that way. And not to mention that, you know, being on some of these elite hockey teams in the summer, they don't play in East Grand Forks. They don't play in Grand Forks. Most of their games are down in the cities. So that's every weekend, you know, a lot of weekends, and that gets to be a lot of money. You know, Clark, you mentioned Gusto, Steve Gust. I've talked to a lot of players that have played for Gusto, and they kind of talk like you do. Big influence in their life. You don't hear too many bad things. Tell us about your time with Gusto.
We're going to start with one specific memory my sophomore year. We had lifting at 5:30 in the morning. I was a little groggy that morning, and I had just finished my set of deadlifts. And I had pushed myself. I was tired, and I was walking out of the deadlifting room with my head down. And Coach Gust was walking the opposite way towards me, and he said, Peterson, what are you doing? And I looked at him, and I said, I just got done deadlifting, Coach. And he goes, I don't want to see you walking with your chest down and your head down. You got to carry yourself with a sense of arrogance, or not necessarily a sense of arrogance, but confidence. I need you to be like that. And I said, yes, coach, absolutely, sir. So I started to carry myself with a little bit more confidence. And then about 2 weeks later, walking through the halls and with my peers, I'm a cheery guy, like to joke around, be loud, have fun. And we're walking through the halls, and Coach Gus goes, Peterson. And I stopped, and I looked, and I turned backwards, and I was wearing a Hamlin baseball sweatshirt. He goes, who do you play for? I said, I play for the University of Minnesota Crookston. What are you doing wearing that sweatshirt? I said, you know, I'm supporting Joe, my friend. And he pitches at Hamlin. He's, yeah, I know Joe. He's a good kid, but you got to make me like you.
Oh, man.
Did you say, buy me a sweatshirt, coach?
And I walked to the cafeteria with my tail between my legs and thinking to myself, now how in the heck do I make someone like me? I can't fathom that.
Mm-hmm.
Either you do or you don't, right? So I went home, and I was talking to one of my teammates, Louis Garzin, and he goes, he's just a guy. Well, quit being scared of him. He's just a guy. He's just got a, that's all. He's just a dude. And I was like, okay, well, all right. And after that situation, you know, I took more accountability at practice. Stepped forward into a leadership role, made sure that guys were taking care of the things that they needed to take care of by me taking care of the things that I needed to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And through those just one-liners from Coach Gust, you know, through those one-liners, I was able to dive into who he is. And then through that, I was further able to understand who I am. And Coach Gust makes you do that. He doesn't give you the opportunity to be an amateur person. I know that we're here talking about amateur baseball, but he wants you to be a professional in every sense.
Yeah.
And when I started to take that professional step and started to act like a, you know, a distinguished college athlete instead of someone who is like, hey, I'm here on this school to play sports. You know, when I started acting like a real student athlete, his and I's relationship started to flourish. It absolutely blossomed. We would talk about baseball for what seemed like a few minutes, but it would end up being an hour, hour and a half. And the relationship from there just started to it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I became a captain my redshirt junior year, and then was captain again last year, my senior year. Obviously, that's voted on by your peers, but Coach Gust has the final say.
You know, it's amazing because some of the biggest influences in my life are coaches. He's kind of got that thing going on, Gus does, and the funny thing is, I know a lot of players that played for him, and you know, they called him coach back in their playing days, but they don't call him Steve. They still call him coach. I mean, I'm you know, Alex is 34 now, and I think he still calls him coach.
Yeah, you know, He demands that respect. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. He doesn't demand it. He's earned that respect.
Right, right.
He's earned that respect.
Big difference.
Yes, yes.
Let's see. Darren Hager says, Gusto is an amazing coach. Left an impact on my life as well. Did you mention one of the Merricks?
I mentioned Andrew Merrick, but I got a little D-note here on Darren Hager here.
Okay.
Darren approached Neil and I, I'd say November, maybe September, October. And he said that he wanted to start his own fundraising company. And I said, absolutely, Darren. Darren was one of my youth baseball coaches. When my parents first moved to East Grand Forks, we were next door to his grandma, and him and his brother were some of my best friends growing up. We said, absolutely, Darren, we'll support your company. So we're going to be selling things that are similar to gold cards.
Okay.
Later on this summer. And, you know, we're going to be looking for the community's support again, and we will return the support, obviously, and in any way that we can. But for anybody who's looking for a fundraising opportunity, get in contact with Darren. He's a great guy. Him and his girlfriend or fiance, I'm not sure the stage of their relationship at the moment, they do a great job. They're very personable. They work hard, and that's something that we take for value at the Mass, and that's something that we want to help people like that.
Now, you mentioned you're going to be mailing out some stuff. How do you get on that mailing list? Is it every East Grand Forks resident or how? Because I do want to be on that list.
Well, the mailing list is comprised of, like I said earlier, businesses that people who are on the team support or continuously support. And then the mailing list is comprised, like the personal mailing list is just comprised of friends and family of the Mass. And if you would like to be on the mailing list, my email is clarkpeterson24@gmail.com. Shoot me an email with your name, your address, and we'll get you a letter.
All right. I will get that from you. We got some texts here I want to talk about. Michael Peterson, could not be prouder of this kid. Andrew Merrick, great stuff, guys. Gusto's a great leader, great guy. Some of the best moments of my life were playing Legion in high school for him. I forgot he was actually a high school coach way back in the day.
He started the Sacred Heart program.
Yeah. And they were strong.
Oh, man.
And then he went to Northland and Thief River.
Correct. That's actually where I am currently.
Okay.
As well, the assistant coach there with Sam Schumacher.
Oh, okay. And well, then he went to Dakota Wesleyan and then UMC. And boy, he has really turned that program around at UMC.
Yeah. Like we talked about, Coach Gust will pull the best character out of you.
Mm-hmm.
He will see right through all of your BS. He will look through your smokes and mirrors, and he will pull that guy, the best person you are, he will pull that person out of you. And that is why that program has success. That's why they'll have success in the future. That's why whoever he chooses as a successor will have success as well, because they will be like-minded.
You know, you sound like a coach. You sound kind of like a motivator. You're very well... The way you talk, it's almost like you should be doing my job. You do a great job. I want to ask you about the attire you're wearing. You got the M baseball, the M hat. Is that your official, what you wear, the Mass?
Yes. Right now we are rocking Richard PTS 20 hats. They are the most comfortable hats ever. No, we're not sponsored by Richard. No, I'm not being paid by Richardson to say that. I just absolutely love the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my dad, Mike Peterson, works over at Jarrell's, and he does a great job with all of our fan apparel stores. And
okay.
That's where this cage jacket comes from. We'll be opening a store here soon. I think I told him I wanted it open 1st of February. You'll be able to buy anything. We'll have hats, long sleeves, cage jackets, sweatpants, shorts, the whole nine yards.
Jarrell's, there's your plug, by the way. I don't know if you've seen, but we do have a little hat collection up here. So what I want you to do, if you could, Clark, is find me the dirtiest, oldest one you got that you'll probably never wear again, because we would definitely like to have a Mass hat up here in the studio,
absolutely.
Too. When the fundraiser thing gets rolling, we definitely need to get back again with each other. But I got one more text here. This is from Kevin Hatcher. Shout out to Clark's taking the amateur ball leadership role, bringing back East Side Ball to showcase our years of local baseball talent. And there is a ton of baseball talent around here. You know, a lot of people say Grand Forks, East Grand Forks is a hockey town, Fargo is a baseball town, but there are some really good ball players that come out of these two towns.
Yeah, I got a little bit to say about that.
Go ahead.
We talked about being a dual sport athlete earlier. And I hope some of you parents take notice. I hope some of you, you hockey coaches and baseball coaches, football, wrestling, whatever you may do, if you have the opportunity to influence a kid's life, please listen to this. The talent in every single sport in this town is immense.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the genetics, the workmanship, the work ethic, the pride is incomparable. I spent the summer of 2018 in New York City, and I played with athletes who are 100 times more athletic than any kid I'll ever see here,
mm-hmm.
and every single person on the mass is still a better baseball player than those kids.
Really?
Yes. But it comes down to their work ethic, their pridemanship. And those kids were all specialized. Mm-hmm. They played baseball at 14, 15 years old. If you have the opportunity to play, we'll start with this. If you have the opportunity to play Square Day hockey and you can also play on a 13-year-old club baseball team,
mm-hmm.
do it.
Yeah,
the hand-eye coordination you're going to learn from baseball. If you want to be an elite dangler, if you want to be able to run through the pep system at the Icon like there's no tomorrow, be able to hit a 75 mile an hour fastball at 15 years old, be able to put the barrel on 92 when you're 18,
mm-hmm.
and adversely, if you want to be the stud hockey player, be able to adapt. That's the biggest thing with playing multiple sports. You have to adapt. You have to be able to go into a situation that you're unfamiliar with and find the best out of it. And you can't do that when you're continuously playing the same sport.
Right. And there's different muscle memory and things like that.
Absolutely.
There's just the more sports you play, the more well-rounded you'll be. And this is something I want to ask you, because I think you strike me as this kind of person. But, and I say this to a lot of coaches, I ask this question, there's a lot more to being an athlete than being an athlete. There's a lot more to being on a team and growing up with your peers and playing with your peers and having a coach that you admire and respect. So there's more to sports than sports itself.
Yeah, absolutely. A lesser known fact about my life is that I'm going to be a doctor in sports psychology.
Oh boy.
I'm in my second try. I'm in my second quarter right now. The mental aspect of sports is not dictated with how good you are at the sport.
Right.
Your success on the field is determined with how well you sleep, how good you eat, what your mental condition is, and how well you can cope with stress. If you can't do any of those things, if you're not proficient in those areas, work on it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go out and score 3 goals a game if you're getting 4, 5, 6 hours of sleep a night.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to be a team captain if you tell every single person you talk to piss off.
Right.
You know, those are things that as a young athlete, take pride in that. You know, I see a lot of kids who every day when I work at the arena are extremely eager to get on the ice. They're rattling the door. They're on the ice before the Zamboni's off.
Mm-hmm.
I love the enthusiasm. That shows me that you want to play. But what I need to know as a coach, as a Zamboni driver, just as a person observing, is do you have the obedience? Do you have the discipline to just wait that 5 seconds, that 6 seconds of, okay, this is what my instincts say, but what do I have to do? What does society say I do? And those are things that as an athlete, if you can show those, if you're the guy that's like, hey, Ralph, get off the ice, dude. Mm-hmm. The Zamboni's still on there. Those are the kids that are going to be the most successful.
Yeah, and another thing parents need to realize too is, you know, they all think their kid's great. They're a great athlete, whatever, but they're not all going to win the Hobie Baker. They're not all going to win a Cy Young. They're not going to win the Heisman. Let them have fun. Let them get into it. I mean, steer them. When my kid was an athlete, never, ever did I talk about a game after the game with him unless he brought it up. He was old enough. He knew what was going on. I didn't have to point out to him that maybe he sucked that particular day or maybe he played great that particular day. But let your kids enjoy it, too, because the more they enjoy it and show the enthusiasm like you're talking about, Clark, the better off it's going to be in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to parents, you guys are the heart and soul of your child. Your kid may not display it to you, but know that they are. And if your kid says thank you after every single practice when you drop them off, make sure that you reinforce that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But on the flip side, as a parent, this was a problem when I was in college. I didn't play very much. My parents never interjected. Mm-hmm. They never went to Coach Gus. They never said anything to Coach Gus. They let me handle it. I would handle it with Coach Gus, and that's when I emerged as a leader. I took the responsibility for me not playing. I practiced harder. I got in better shape. I did everything right, and I still didn't play, but I didn't take that out on the coach. I accepted my role. I didn't let my parents become helicopters or snowplows and mm-hmm. interject. Mm-hmm. I stood my ground as a man, and you can do that at 14, 15, 16 sure. years old. It doesn't matter. If you're a role player, recognize the role and play it to the best of your ability, because your coach isn't preparing you for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach is preparing you for the future, and that's the best thing that Coach Gust ever did for me. If I went to a school and played for 4 years, I can confidently say I'd hit 260, 270, mm-hmm. throw out 40% of base runners, and maybe even compete for a gold glove, but I wouldn't be in the position I am today if I played every game.
Right.
I wouldn't have the attention to detail. I wouldn't be able to understand shifts, look at swings, analyze body mechanics like I do if I was playing every single game.
Mm-hmm.
I am who I am today because of the decisions Coach Gus made for me.
Sure.
And if my parents had interjected in that, you know, things could be different.
Yeah.
I couldn't run the mass. I might not be.
Well, you know, I know stories of very good athletes that quit the sport because of parents, the pressure. And you know, the people that say, well, they don't make kids like they used to. The one thing I always say is, remember, it all starts at home. That's where it all starts. Don't say, well, I don't know, the kid doesn't have any interest. Well, get them out there, play with them.
Let your kids fail.
Yeah, let them, exactly. Well, you just nailed it right there. A couple of quick texts here before we let you go, Clark. I know you got to get back to work. Alex Martinson, studies show multi-sports athletes are all around better athletes and usually develop all-around better people. Exactly what we talked about. Let's see. Yeah, this interview is inspiring. Brady, Clark is one of the most determined and hardworking people I know. Great influence on me and my life. Okay, I'll ask you one more question here, Clark. When you're all said and done, this could be a long time from now, or it could be next year. When you're all said and done coaching, how do you want people to remember you as a coach?
I just want them to remember me as the guy who didn't care that that things didn't necessarily always go well, but our job was done. I made sure that your child left me better than I found him. I made sure that the facility we were at was left better than we found it. And I just want people to remember me as the guy who put baseball on the same level as hockey in this town. I understand that it's been paved with guys like Rob Schneider, Kevin Nunn, Coach Gust, Paul Bethke, the list goes on and on. We have the talent, we have the dedication, and I want to be the guy that gets remembered as the spark that lit a fire that still burns.
You know, this is probably one of my favorite interviews I've done, and I've done a lot of these. But
honestly, same. Like, I honestly feel like coaches are one of the most inspiring people. Graves, I don't think you're watching this, but honestly, I love my parents, but I honestly just. I look up to coaches, you know, as is.
I mean, the love that a parent gives you is different than a love that a coach mm-hmm. gives.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, after talking to you, Clark, I wish I was 25 years younger and didn't suck so bad at baseball, because I might have come and try out and play for you guys, the Mass. But, okay, we got one more. Victor Cicido. Clark is one of the best teammates and coaches I've ever had. He's a leader in any room he walks in. Got to like it when people are digging you like that, huh?
I don't let it get to my ego.
Is it embarrassing?
No, it's not embarrassing. I have just as many people who would say negative comments.
Sure. Spoken like a true coach. Clark, thank you so much for coming in. Man, yeah. This was, I feel inspired right now after talking to you.
I'm kind of younger here. I mean, we're kind of similar in age. I'm 20, but heck, you know, I'm going to take what you honestly talked about today and apply it, because I'm going to be playing tennis shortly coming up when school goes back. But yeah, I learned a lot in this interview.
You know, I'm grateful for you guys having me. A couple closing notes here. I'd like to give a shout out to Joe Salamino of the Pelham Mets. Joe, you're probably never going to hear this. I don't even think you know how to work Facebook, to be completely honest. But the opportunity you gave me in New York was absolutely eye-opening. I wouldn't have gotten the idea to run my own amateur baseball team if it wasn't for the opportunity to play for yours. So thank you very much, Joe. I know that you're never going to hear this, but I hope that it gets back to you someday. And secondly, thank you to the greater Grand Forks baseball community. You know, we wouldn't be anything without any of you. That extends all the way out to Larimore. We played a few home games there during the pandemic purge, and then it includes all the way down to Thompson. You know, we got guys from Thompson. Keep doing what you guys are doing. We appreciate it. If you want to come play for us, reach out to me. We have a spot for you. We can get you better, or if you're at a point where you just want to come have fun, just come have fun. If you are also at the stage where you're like, I'd rather play softball, we are also starting our first softball team this year.
Oh.
Yep. We're going to dive into that. We're going to try and be competitive. RMI, we're coming for you. I don't got anything other to say than that.
Clark Peterson, thanks, man.
No problem.
What a great interview. And looking forward to seeing some more stuff with the masks coming up. Hopefully this year is back to being halfway normal. I don't live that far away from Stouse Field, so I'm definitely going to be coming and watching the East Grand Forks Mass. Clark Peterson, coach of the East Grand Forks Mass amateur baseball team. And what a great talk. And I just feel like a completely different person right now. And special thanks going out to the Bubba Laundry Company. If you're sick and tired of doing laundry every day, well, I know I get sick of it. Washer and dryer, maybe a little bit too small for the bigger things. Well, that's where you go to the Bubba Laundry Company. Let them do it for you. They have drop-off laundry service where they neatly fold and bag your clothing. It's only $1.25 a pound for clothing. How about that? Bubble also has 61 high-speed machines for self-service. They do commercial laundry. You can check out that newly remodeled store. It is something. 3 TVs, free fast Wi-Fi with an ATM, soda and snack machines, and an old-school arcade game. Wow. Stop in for self-service from 5:30 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week, or drop-off service Monday through Thursday from 9 to 9, Friday through Sunday from 9 to 8. You know what? You can do it yourself, or you can have it done for you. Bubba Laundry Company, 1401 12th Avenue South, right behind the Strip Mall with a lighting gallery in Mexican Village. If you want to find out more about the Bubba Laundry Company, call them up, 701-800-3084. Well, make sure you tune in to a special edition of Politically Miscorrect tonight at 7. And don't forget, our ribbon-cutting ceremonies and open house is a week from Friday. That's the 15th. We'll get that going around 4 o'clock, 4:30 or so. There's going to be live music here in the studio. Come on over. We're going to head over to Rumors afterwards for a little after party, all right? Tomorrow, Dirty Thursday. Oh, I can't wait. Sprint car driver Thomas Kennedy will be on the show via Zoom from up in Canada. And make sure you like, share, and tag us. Don't forget, we're now on Amazon Music. We are Grand Forks' best source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.